Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Central again this morning and invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 122. As we continue our summer series on deep questions in the Psalms, the question we come to this morning is, where do I belong? It's a question that comes from this psalm that was sung as God's people traveled up to Jerusalem to worship in their annual pilgrimage. And as they traveled up the hill, up the mountain to Jerusalem, they opened their hearts to the truth of how they would fit together as God's people whenever they arrived. And the truth that they sang that we celebrate this morning is that we belong. We belong to God, and we belong to one another. So let's hear God's word from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Let's pray together. Father, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes to see what you have for us today. Enable us to worship you and seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's summertime, and many of us spend part of the summer traveling. Sometimes we go to the beach, sometimes we go to the mountains, sometimes we go home. And whenever we go home, there are lots of things to celebrate, aren't there? There are friends that you haven't seen for a while, family that you haven't laid eyes on, and you're so excited to be with friends and family. But at the same time, isn't it sometimes difficult to go home? Sometimes that ideal family time suffers from the crushing blow of reality. Whether it's the irritating uncle that always takes the last piece of the pie, or whether it's something harder, something like memories that come back to you when you're with your family, longings for what your family could have been but really never turned out to be, things that you suffer at the hands of people you love. Going home can sometimes be hard. But what keeps you going back? What is it that takes you back again and again and again, year after year? Why do you go? Well, it's because it's family, right? We keep going back because we belong, because these are our people. This is where we come from. This is where we belong. And we go back because of the promise of what it could be, that just maybe this family could be a place of refuge and love and beauty and the potential and all that I long for, even though it's trying at times to be with family. We keep going back because we belong. Now, Psalm 122 is a psalm about family. It's a psalm about being part of God's family and continuing to come back again and again into God's family, even when it's hard. This, as I said a moment ago, is a psalm that was sung as the Hebrews traveled up to Jerusalem for their annual worship at the temple. And as they were traveling up the mountain, they imagined what it would be like in Jerusalem once they got there. What it would feel like to be part of the worshiping community of God. And now, if you know your Bible really well, you will remember why they went to Jerusalem. It wasn't just that it was a pretty city. They went to Jerusalem because that's where the temple was. Because that's where God has established his dwelling place among his people. And as they went up to the temple, as they went up to Jerusalem, they knew that they would meet with God himself. That was the very heartbeat of Jerusalem. That's why all the tribes poured into Jerusalem to meet with God himself. And if you know your Bible really well, again, you will remember that in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Peter 2 and other passages, over and over again, it tells us that the city of Jerusalem anticipated and prefigured a more prominent dwelling of God with his people. God would dwell not in a house of stone in the city of Jerusalem, but he would gather with his people as they are meeting all around the world. There are millions of cities of God scattered around the world as God's people in country after country, city after city, have come together to worship, to be the very dwelling place of God. Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem, was about celebrating being part of the very people of God. And as we come into this people of God this morning at Central Presbyterian Church, we proclaim that we are glad to go to the house of God. And there are some reasons. There are reasons in this psalm as to why we would be glad to go into the house of God. And because we belong, it gives us joy. But also we have responsibilities. We are glad to belong, be filled with joy, but we also realize we have responsibility for this house of God. So let's look at those one by one. We are glad, or we have joy, to go into the house of God because we belong to his new family. And chief among this new family is God himself. God is here this morning. What we need to know is when we come to worship, we have something happening that is unique in time and space. We have come to meet God himself when we come into the sanctuary with the gathered people of God. Now, I know it's true that God is omnipresent, and we don't have to come into a sanctuary to find God as if he's cloistered away behind stone walls. But the Bible teaches over and over again that God meets with his people in a unique way, in a significant way, when we gather as his body, when we gather corporately as his own special people. Verse 4 says that it is to the Lord himself that the tribes go up. It is before the Lord's very presence that our praises go. God dwells with us when we come together for worship, and we don't experience that anywhere else on the planet, except when we gather together as God's own people. Hear how the writer of Hebrews describes what happens when we come for worship. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, he wrote, "You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, to the judge of all men." When we come into God's house, when we come into worship, God's presence is here in a special way, in a unique way, and it is unlike any other time of your life. Friends, I hope we realize that when you walk into here, we have the call to worship. There is more going on in this space and in this room than you can see with your physical eyes. Spiritually, what's going on is what the writer of Hebrews said. When we come to worship, we come into God's very presence in the company of thousands of angels. We gather together before God's throne where he sits, and with other brothers and sisters who've gone before us. We come to hear God and see God when we come to worship. It's God's own presence who is here. And he tells us a story. Week by week, when we come into worship, God himself reminds us of the story of what he has done to make us belong to his family. You can follow it along in your liturgy, in your worship folder. He calls to us. He calls to us to come. And then we respond as we pray to him. And then we confess our sin, and he gives us grace. He reminds us of the gospel, of the beauty of what he's done for us. We praise him again. He speaks to us and instructs us on how to live as his children. And then we, in return, give him everything that we have and everything that we are. We sit down at his table, and we fellowship with him because God has drawn us into his family. You see, every time we come to worship, week by week by week, God is rehearsing for us the story of what he has done to make us part of his family. And that's why we're glad, because we come to God's house to hear God's own voice, to remind us that we belong to God's own family. It makes us glad. Now, we have to admit that sometimes we may not be glad when we come to church, right? Sometimes something happens on the way to church in the morning and there's a little bit of conflict in your family, or maybe there's somebody has a really hard time getting out of bed and you're not glad to come into the house of the Lord, right? Sometimes we're not glad to come to the house of the Lord for other reasons. One of those may be I'm super boring and you just doesn't do it for you. And so maybe I'm not so glad to come into the house of the Lord. But there are lots of reasons why. It could be that you're not glad to go into the house of the Lord because you feel like you don't fit. Maybe it's because you know the guilt and shame in your own soul, and you think, I don't belong here. Could be simple unbelief. It may be that you've never trusted the Lord Jesus for your salvation. Whether you've been here for the first time or you spent your whole life in these pews, I hope you know that it is possible to spend a lifetime sitting in a pew with a lifeless, stone-cold heart toward the Lord Jesus. It's possible. If that describes you today, you're not sure that you've ever trusted Jesus. Make today the day of salvation. Make today the day where you confess your guilt and name your need and your sin before the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive you, to move into your heart and take over and empower you to live as a child of freedom, a child of the gospel. Today is the day. Whether it's the first time you've ever heard that gospel or whether you've heard it a million times before, if you don't know him, make today the day. But maybe you have trusted Jesus, and yet you feel in the grip of your sin or your shame because you know how you're living. You feel ashamed for what you've done and you think, I just don't fit here in God's house because I've got to clean myself up first. I just don't belong here. Friends, if that's how you feel this morning, I want you to know you are in exactly the right spot. You're exactly where you should be because week by week we come into the worship and the sanctuary of God not to tell God how good we are. We don't come here to rehearse for God how we've cleaned ourselves up and therefore we have a space in your kingdom. It's just the opposite. Week by week we come into worship to remember our guilt and remember what God has done to wash us clean in the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you feel like I don't fit because my life isn't clean enough, know that you are in exactly the right space. Because we gather as God's people underneath the cross of the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who was pictured in that temple so many thousands of years ago. And yet we come this morning to celebrate that Jesus, the Lamb of God, said, "It is finished. It's all washed clean." If we simply trust in what Jesus has done for us in taking our condemnation, being nailed to his body on the cross, then we are set free. We are made clean, and it is finished. And if you feel in the trap of your guilt this morning, know that you are in exactly the right place for Jesus himself to remind you that by his own blood, you have been washed clean, and you've been given eternal life. If you feel like you don't fit here because you're not good enough for the people who are here, I want you to take another look around. Take another look around at who is around you in the sanctuary this morning, because we've come to be a people of the truth. And the truth is this: every one of us is capable of every kind of sin. So if you come here this morning feeling tempted, and even having given over to any kind of sin, you are at home among the people of God. Every one of us is capable of every sort of sin, and we come this morning to tell the truth about our hearts and to claim that truth about what the Lord Jesus has done. We are here not because we present ourselves as clean before God, but we are here because Jesus is the only healer for sin-sick souls. The only one. So, sinner, you are in good company here, because here you can be reminded of the love and grace and cleansing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our Father here this morning to remind us that we belong. We belong because he has loved us and given his one and only Son for us, that we might be with him forever. You belong if you trust the Lord Jesus. But not only do we find God here when we come into his house, but as we come to worship, we also must be aware that we are here with God's people too. We have joy when we come into the house of God because we are reminded that we have a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And just as these pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem and were in awe at what they saw, you and I, verse 3, are bound firmly together. We're closely compacted. That's the words that the psalmist uses. Whenever they were traveling up, they would see how this city of Jerusalem was built together. Everything had exactly the right space. That verb that the psalmist uses is also found in Exodus chapter 26. Where they're giving instructions about how the curtains on the tabernacle, should have been pulled together to make sure everything fits tightly. God himself was the one who would pull the string, pull the cords to make sure everything in his tabernacle fit just right. And as the people of God came into Jerusalem, they saw that this was a city where everything fit just right. All the stones fit properly. Everything had the precise place, and it was God's work to pull his city together. God did it. But I hope you realize that the marvel that King David and the people had for worship wasn't just about architecture. It wasn't simply about how the stones in the city all fit together. What were they celebrating? Look again at verse 4. It was the tribes. The tribes fit together. The people of God streaming into the city of God were closely compacted together. They fit together, even as the 12 and a half or so tribes of Israel, they fit together perfectly because God drew them together. Now, if you know your Bible history, you might remember that at this time in the history of Israel, it was common for the tribe people to identify with their tribe more than being a people of Israel. All of these tribes were separated, and they were in perpetual conflict with each other, always warring over land or rights or which leader to follow, all sorts of things. These tribes were separated into groups of division and difference, no more so than the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. Now, I want you to pull up your Sunday school files from maybe years ago, the lessons that you learned in Sunday school, and you might remember that Benjamin was the tribe of Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and Judah was the tribe of David, the second king. And these two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, were constantly fighting with each other. And what made it worse is their land bordered one another. They were side by side, constantly fighting, and there wasn't a wall to keep them separated. The people of Benjamin, Saul's men, would raid in and attack and try to kill and hunt down David, the new king that God anointed from the tribe of Judah. They were constantly fighting. And one of the reasons I want to highlight for you the enmity between Judah and Benjamin is because of geography. You might remember that Jerusalem sits on the border between the land of the tribe of Benjamin and the land of the tribe of Judah. King David set the capital of the nation, the place where the temple would be built, where God would dwell in the midst of his people and receive worship and praise and celebrate his provision for the sacrifice of sin. That place was put on the border of two fiercely warring tribes. Think about that. The place to which all these people who can't get along were to go up and be bound firmly together was at the crossroads of their hostility. It was exactly in the middle of the place where they fought over each other and argued with each other, where they had differences politically and culturally. It was at the crossroads of all their hostility that God said, "Here, I will draw you all together to be my people. Here is the place in all of your distinction, in all of your difference, I draw you together to be my people who fit together." Now, why? Why would that be so important? Well, can you imagine a better testimony to offer to the world? If God can reconcile people who were politically different and culturally different and had this deep-seated animosity toward one another, if God could reconcile these people together into a closely compacted people who are bound side by side in worship together before their heavenly Father, if he can remove that hostility and bind them together, is there any doubt that God can reconcile sinners to himself? You see, the warring tribes coming together was a picture of what God does with people like us who've been at war with him. We are reconciled to him. We are reconciled to one another through the blood of the sacrifice, through the blood of the Lord Jesus. He brings people who are hostile with one another. He brings us together to be one tightly bound family where everyone fits who names the name of Jesus. When we come to worship, friends, we come into this sanctuary, sometimes with distinction and difference, and yet we see how we fit. How I fit with you, how you fit with me, how we fit with one another. Even as 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us that we are the temple. The people in this room, we are God's holy habitation with Jesus himself as our chief cornerstone. And when we seek and pursue unity and love, despite some of our differences, then we testify to the world that our God is a reconciling God. And he puts us into a family of reconciliation. Just like the stones in the temple all fit together, and yet they weren't uniform. And just like the tribes were closely drawn together, even though they had political and cultural differences, so also you and I as God's people are broken and misshapen bricks that the Lord stacks one life on another to build a place for his holy habitation. He's joined us together to be his family. We are joined together and united in the Lord Jesus Christ, joined to him by faith and made part of his body here on earth. And that's why we can be glad. We can be glad to come into the house of the Lord because God had put us together. Despite our differences, despite our distinctions, the testimony of the people of God is strong and it's convincing when we are united. So we have to offer the world a testimony of union with God and with one another. And whenever we are united, that testimony is strong. But we also have to recognize that the opposite may be true as well. Whenever we're at one another's throats, when we attack one another and slander one another, when we refuse to listen to one another with humility, when we treat one another with suspicion rather than humble kindness and giving you the benefit of the doubt, when we behave that way and the world sees it, they are unable to hear us when we say we have a God who reconciles. Let me say it as plainly as I can. If we don't treat one another kindly and lovingly and humbly, if we don't seek out unity in the church, why would anyone believe our testimony of a God who saves sinners and reconciles them to himself? Why? We are strong and convincing when we're unified. I've been at Central for about 10 years now altogether, and one of the things that I can count on is every month hearing someone quote our former pastor, Andy Jumper. It happens at least once a month. And one of the things that I hear quoted from Pastor Jumper over and over again, although he's been gone since 1992, I think, isn't that right? He went to be with Jesus in 92, but people continue to quote him, and the thing I hear the most was his sermon on murmuring. He talked about murmuring, even said it that way, murmuring. It sounds like a nasty word, doesn't it? It's a nasty word because it's a nasty thing. When we murmur against one another and attack one another and complain against one another and treat one another with suspicion, then we are murmuring before the Lord and we are destroying our witness before the world. Dr. Jumper's words are still needed because it still happens. It happened in Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, and it still happens at Central Church today. We have to realize how much damage it does to the witness of the glory of the Lord Jesus when we refuse to get along in the church, when we're unable to love and serve one another in humility and in joy. We've been called by God to be part of his family, to come home and live with him and live alongside one another. And yet I know it can be hard. It can be hard because, as one of my colleagues in ministry once said, God has joined imperfect person to imperfect person to form an imperfect community. That's who we are as the church. We are a house of sinners. And yet God has drawn all of us imperfect sinners together to show the world that he is a Savior who reconciles. He's a Savior who can set aside hostilities. He's a Savior who can conquer sin in our lives. Family life can be hard, but there's joy when you know that you're loved. If you know that you're loved in God's house by God's people, there can be joy. If you're here this morning and you wonder, do I have a space? Do I belong here? The answer is yes. You have a role here. And I pray that you find joy in the presence of God. Quickly, Well, we have a responsibility too. It's a responsibility in this family. As we look at our text, the responsibilities we have are to seek unity in this family and to pray for our family. Get verse 9. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. You know, it takes a great deal of effort to enjoy a unified family, doesn't it? I mean, just think about your own family unit. Is it going to be unified just because you hope it so? Of course not. It takes pursuit. It takes hard work. It takes humility. It takes people willing to seek unity, to pursue peace. It takes work. If we're going to experience peace among the people of God, then we have to give ourselves to pursue it. So we must ask questions of our own hearts. I have to ask, where have I been unwilling to humbly listen? Even if I have a difference with a church member, someone of a different tribe within this same people of God, so to speak, politically or culturally. Now, we're not expected to roll over and have peace at all costs, but the reality is that the church of God is a church of truth and love. We have to have both, because if we miss either, we lose both. If we're a church that has truth without love, then we really have lost the truth. And if we're a church with love but no truth, then we really have lost the ability to love one another well. To be the true church of God, truth and love must go together. But aren't we clear that we have to examine our own hearts and ask, where have I lost one or the other of those? Where do I have estrangement from other people in the church? It may be that the Lord would call you to go to someone in humility in order to seek peace. And that going in order to seek peace is to confess your sin, to confess how you have broken peace. You can't control what anyone else does, but you can come humbly seeking peace. It may be that that lack of peace is something internal to you. It may be that you need to set aside some bitterness or struggle because you haven't gotten your own way. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says it this way: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Lay aside all of those things, that anger and that slander and that clamor against one another, and lay hold of that power that's in that last clause, just as God in Christ forgave you. Out of that profound gratitude for the work of the Lord Jesus to restore our relationship with God and for one another, so let us lay aside our enmity and suspicion and party spirit against our brothers and sisters. It's because of the amazing grace that we have received that we have such a deep reason to be gracious toward other people. Because of the amazing grace of God that's been given to you and me, we have all the reason in the world to graciously invite relationship with those with whom we disagree, maybe especially with those with whom we disagree. Just as God in Christ has forgiven us, so we are gracious to one another. We have to seek that peace. But also, verse 6, we pray. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Remember, the Jerusalem is a picture of you, of the people of God. So I ask you, are you praying for the peace of Central Church? Do you pray weekly for the peace of Central Church? Please do. Because the devil is working hard to destroy the peace of our church and all churches. Because peace offers a testimony to the world of a Christ who is alive. A God who can bring people who were formerly hostile with one another, he can bring us together in the same family. So we pray for that peace to go forth from this place. And strife, on the other hand, testifies to the reigning hostility and pride among a people. So we pray. We pray for it because when we're honest, we don't feel very much like we often fit perfectly together as a people, do we? If we're stones in the hands of the Lord, we are often misshapen and have sharp edges in our lives, and Jesus has to smooth them so that we fit together with his people to be built into the temple upon the Lord Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So where do you belong? You belong to God and to his people, to be built up into a living, breathing picture of the power of God. For we are his temple, proving to the world that Jesus Christ has given his life to join us together for eternity. Broken brick, stacked atop broken brick, until we are made into the household of God. Let us love one another and find joy in coming into his house. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have so loved us, that you have claimed us and given us your name, given us your blood, given us your life, and you've given us a family. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us as your people this morning to seek peace, to seek unity in this place, and to pray for your work among us as your people, that through us the testimony of a God who saves, a God who reconciles, would be seen and heard through Central Church. Do it, we pray, and make this place a household of joy because of your work. We pray it and ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.